The first reading is from the Acts of the Apostles. The apostles and the brothers in Judea heard that the pagans too had accepted the word of God, and when Peter came up to Jerusalem, the Jews criticized him and said, "So you have been visiting the uncircumcised and eating with them, have you?" Peter in reply gave them the details point by point. "One day, when I was in the town of Jaffa," he began, "I fell into a trance as I was praying, and had a vision of something like a big sheet being let down from heaven by its four corners. This sheet reached the ground quite close to me. I watched it intently and saw all sorts of animals and wild beasts, everything possible that could walk, crawl, or fly. Then I heard a voice that said to me, 'Now, Peter, kill and eat.' But I answered, 'Certainly not, Lord. Nothing profane or unclean has ever crossed my lips.' And a second time the voice spoke from heaven, 'What God has made clean, you have no right to call profane.' This was repeated three times before the whole of it was drawn up to heaven again. Just at that moment, three men stopped outside the house where we were staying. They had been sent from Caesarea to fetch me, and the Spirit told me to have no hesitation about going back with them. The six brothers here came with me as well, and we entered the man's house. He told us he had seen an angel standing in his house, who said, 'Send to Jaffa and fetch Simon, known as Peter. He has a message for you that will save you and your entire household.' I had scarcely begun to speak when the Holy Spirit came down on them, in the same way as it came on us at the beginning. And I remembered that the Lord had said, 'John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit.' I realized then that God was giving them the identical thing he gave to us when we believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. And who was I to stand in God's way?" This account satisfied them, and they gave glory to God. "God," they said, "can evidently grant even the pagans the repentance that leads to life." The psalm. Like the deer that yearns for running streams, so my soul is yearning for you, my God. My soul is thirsting for God, the God of my life. When can I enter and see the face of God? O send forth your light and your truth. Let these be my guide. Let them bring me to your holy mountain, to the place where you dwell. And I will come to the altar of God, the God of my joy, my Redeemer. I will thank you on the harp, O God, my God. The Gospel reading is from John chapter 10. Jesus said, "I tell you most solemnly, anyone who does not enter the sheepfold through the gate, but gets in some other way, is a thief and a brigand. The one who enters through the gate is the shepherd of the flock. The gatekeeper lets him in, the sheep hear his voice. One by one he calls his own sheep and leads them out. When he has brought out his flock, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow because they know his voice. They never follow a stranger, but run away from him. They do not recognize the voice of strangers." Jesus told them this parable, but they failed to understand what he meant by telling it to them. So Jesus spoke to them again, "I tell you most solemnly, I am the gate of the sheepfold. All others who have come are thieves and brigands, but the sheep took no notice of them. I am the gate. Anyone who enters through me will be safe. He will go freely in and out and be sure of finding pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come so that they may have life and have it to the full." The last line of today's gospel is sometimes lifted out and held up as a kind of summary proclamation of the mission of Jesus. "I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." But it raises at least these two questions. What kind of life is life to the full? And how does it come to be in us? The life Jesus speaks about is his risen life, the life of the new creation that has been established through his resurrection from the dead. We know that this is in some ways a continuation of human life, and in other ways a radical transformation of human life. In their encounters with the risen Lord, the disciples learned that there was continuity and discontinuity between his condition before his death and his condition after his resurrection, between the human being alive in the first creation and the human being alive in the new creation. God is always the source of life and goodness. All life, all holiness comes from God through the Son in the Holy Spirit, so we say in the liturgy. Peter has a vision of all sorts of living things, animals and wild beasts, and a voice from heaven certifies them to be clean. The new creation then does not mean despising the old one. What God has made clean, you have no right to call profane. Peter's vision, followed by a visit from three men, is reminiscent of the experience of Abraham at the Oak of Mamre, when three men came to assure him of God's continuing presence and care in the unfolding of creation. The history of creation now flows through the gate of the Paschal Mystery. This is the dramatic new development that has come about through the death and resurrection of Jesus. So what kind of life is life to the full, the life that flows through the gate of the Paschal Mystery? It is a life lived in the Spirit of Jesus. The Holy Spirit came down on them in the same way as it came down on us in the beginning, Peter says. Life in the Spirit means a life completely centered on Christ and on his work, a life of joy and courage in following Christ and witnessing to him. So we can begin to list the characteristics of life to the full: appreciating God's work in creation, attending to God's voice in prayer, recognizing the voice of Christ the Good Shepherd, turning away from stealing, killing, and destroying. Life to the full also means freely going in and out, sure of finding pasture. This rhythm of life seems to speak about contemplation and action, part of this life spent with Christ in the safety of the sheepfold, another part following him out of the sheepfold to do the many things involved in mission: searching for the lost, caring for the weak, witnessing to Christ, bringing his presence to every place, calling others to attend to his voice and to learn from him. Life to the full means dissolving barriers such as that between Jews and Gentiles. "So you have been visiting the uncircumcised and eating with them, have you?" is a criticism of Peter when he returns to Judea. So much of the teaching and example of Jesus is about the dissolution of barriers. Why does he eat with tax collectors and sinners? Prostitutes enter the kingdom of heaven before the righteous. Many will come from east and west, north and south, to sit at table in his kingdom. We still long for this universal inclusiveness to be completed, and the church itself struggles, as we see it did from the beginning, to understand how it should bear witness in its own life to this universal inclusiveness. So life to the full appreciates creation, attends to God's voice, recognizes the voice of Christ, turns away from wicked things, is contemplative and active, dissolves barriers between people. This is life in the Spirit of Jesus. How do we come to live by this new life? This was our second question. At the end of today's first reading, the church in Judea surprises itself by saying God can evidently grant even the pagans the repentance that leads to life. The Spirit of life to the full clearly works beyond the barriers and limitations we will be inclined to set for it. Even while they express admiration for God's ability to bring the pagans to repentance, they seem for the moment unaware of the fact that God has done exactly the same with them. They have been brought to change their minds, to repent of how they formerly thought about things, so as to open themselves further to the new thing God is doing within the creation. The simple answer to our second question then, how do we come to live by this new life, is repentance, changing our minds, thinking in a new way. It is always easier for us to see how other people need to change their minds than to see how we need to change our minds. But we have life to the full only when we have, as St. Paul says, come to share the mind of Christ. We can begin to practice those virtues that characterize life to the full: appreciating creation, attending to God's voice, recognizing the voice of Christ, turning away from wicked things, being contemplative and active, dissolving the barriers that keep us from others. The danger here is that such a list of virtues will begin to seem moralistic and effortful, as if life to the full were not also, as all life is, a gift granted to us. On the other hand, we cannot simply say, "Sorry, I have not received this gift." Life to the full, the life of the new creation, is also continuous with the life of the first creation. And so we will find in ourselves intimations and longings that already draw us towards it, prepare us for it, and give us already, however faintly, some understanding of what love, joy, courage, and peace might mean. In today's psalm, the deer that yearns for running streams represents the soul thirsting for God. When can I enter and see the face of God, the God of my life? Send forth your light and your truth, the psalmist says, a prayer we believe to be answered in the sending of the Son. Let these be my guide. We recognize in the voice of Christ God's light and truth leading and guiding us. Let them bring me to your holy mountain, to the place where you dwell. This is the church, the sign and presence already of life to the full, where the mysteries of the gate are celebrated, the paschal mysteries of death and new life. The first creation teaches us to yearn for life to the full. The new creation brings that life to us, healing the wounds of the first creation and fulfilling our desire for life in ways that are unexpected, radically transforming.